You're listening to The Bridge Loud in Chicago on Q Rock 100.7 FM and online worldwide via thebridgechicago.com. Hey, this is Jed Brewer. Here's tonight's question. My friend relapsed, and I feel so upset. What now? Let's get into it.
Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm joined by the founder of Mission USA, Glenn Fitzgerald.
I'm all hopped up on Denver omelet.
Also joined by the producer of the show, Jed Brewer.
I do enjoy an omelet.
Yes. You don't want to get hopped up on one, by which Glenn, I think, means he's standing on an omelet. And we'll see if that just gets him the extra oomph to get through the show. And we are answering a question that came into thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We're here. Welcome to writing your own questions. This week's question says, my friend relapsed, and I feel so upset. What now, Glenn, for folks who aren't familiar with this particular terminology, this is probably, we assume, someone who has a friend who was trying to get out of addiction to whatever substance or issue and kind of fell back into that, started drinking again or using again, whatever that might be. That's what a relapse is. And certainly in our day job, working with folks who are coming out of addiction, coming out of jail, something we see a lot, something we see friend groups and religious groups and recovery groups deal with a lot. So what are the kind of things we try to start off with?
Well, and certainly people very close to us deal with this all the time. You know, we have these same feelings many, many, many times in a given year. So we're familiar for sure. And we feel the same things you feel, which is you're just really, really sad about it. Yeah. And you feel a sense of loss that's happening there. But that kind of gives way to a whole stew of emotions that sometimes even are in conflict with each other. I mean, emotions aren't logical, so they don't hold together. And you have contradictory kind of thoughts and feelings of, shock and sadness and, frustration and all those kind of things. Those things can kind of run around in your head and leave you in a very negative place. So I think it's important for us to try and figure out, how can we somehow maintain a positive view of the situation despite the fact that it's a rough one?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It really is those contradictions that Glenn is talking about there, and we're trying to land on something that does kind of sound, in a way, contradictory. We have to find a place to move on positively from this. And Jed, I wonder if what a bad idea we see is people thinking, I have to come up with the grand narrative. I have to square all these things that I'm feeling and dealing with. What is the way we can acknowledge and work with our emotions but get to this good place Glenn's talking about?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that we need to acknowledge, which for a lot of folks in the modern world is really difficult, is some situations are really complicated. And addiction is certainly one of those things it's very complicated. There's a lot of facets to it. There's a lot of ins and outs. And you might have different emotions for almost every element of the situation. So you might be angry about one aspect of it. You might feel disappointed about another aspect. You might feel sad about yet another aspect of it. And as Glenn is kind of pointing out, some of those emotions almost conflict with each other. So you could be really concerned for your friend, but also kind of angry with them at the same time, which it feels like now we're just going, in completely different directions. We're just spinning around. But I think the thing that can give us some peace is to recognize that some situations, definitely including addiction, are very complicated. They can't just be simplified down to a very straightforward narrative. And given that, we're going to have a range of emotions. We may have, as Glenn put it, a stew of emotions, and that's okay. That's not bad. That's not something we need to feel weird about. The question is, what do we do with all these emotions that we have?
And so we'll look how we come back right here on the Bridge Lounge.
Jesus, I'm crying.
It's Loud. My name is Matt King. Once again, I'm joined by the founder of Mission USA, Glenn Fitzgerald.
Went with the wheat toast on the pre-show meal, and I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning is a great time to have a big ol' omelet.
That's right.
Also joining us, producer of the show, the man who puts music together, Jed Brewer.
I feel like by choosing the healthy option of wheat toast, you have really earned a splurge later.
There you go.
That's right. He did cover it in so much butter, but that's how balance works. We're answering a question that came to thebridgeloud at gmail.com. This week's question says, my friend relapsed and I feel so upset. What now? So, Glenn, that first segment, we spent a lot of time talking about just emotions.
Yeah.
When you have a friend who is doing something that hurts them and it's kind of a chemical addiction or behavioral addiction and then goes back into that, as you pointed out, that's territory we know well. You're going to have a lot of feelings about that. Some of them are going to be coming and going. This is going to be the person you feel the worst for in the world and the person you are most angry at in the world. So let's continue to look at that feelings idea and look at that question Jed gave us of what do we do with all this stuff?
Well, I think we start by deciding not to judge our emotions. You know, you can't really have right or wrong feelings. You know, there's no such thing as a righteous emotion or something. They can be positive feelings or negative feelings. They can be constructive or destructive in certain ways. But feelings have a way of going away before you can even label them, really. I mean, you don't just feel the same way for like a week or something. Things evolve. So let's not judge that, and let's also recognize that feelings don't give us insight. You know, sometimes when you feel really strongly about it, it just seems like you've got a certain type of clarity to that, but that's a false sense of that. I hear this a lot when people deal with really just about any kind of tragedy. They say, I just don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why this guy backslid. I don't understand why this guy fell off of what he was trying to do. Well, okay, then let's not engage in blaming that person if you don't understand.
Yeah.
It's okay that you don't understand, but let's stop there. That we're not at a place of understanding yet. We want to get to that understanding.
That's a really, really great point. And, Jed, we can't look to our emotions to give us the insight, as Glenn's saying, or even a direction.
Yeah.
You can't say, I feel bad, therefore this is a terrible thing, because feelings are kind of, there's out there in that stew. What are we going to use to get to where we want to go?
Well, I think, again, we have to start by avoiding some of the wrong turns that people are inclined to take. And the first one, just like Glenn said, is judging feelings. You know, one of the questions we get asked all the time, we're talking to people going through a rough time, is, am I wrong to feel this way? Get asked that question a lot. The answer is no. You're basically never wrong to feel any kind of way, because that's not how feelings work. You can make wrong decisions based on the feelings you have, and a lot of people do that, but that's a decision. That's not a feeling. So am I wrong to feel this way? No. Am I wrong to do X based on the feeling that I have? Potentially, so let's be careful. Just like Glenn said, feelings don't give us insight. You might feel a sense of despair when you consider your friend, but you having despair doesn't mean your friend's story is over, right? In the same way, you might feel kind of angry at your friend. That doesn't mean that this is all your friend's fault. Addiction is a very complicated thing, and we might be lacking in the way that we're understanding it. So you're not wrong to have the feeling, but the feeling isn't giving you some deep truth about reality and helping you understand the situation. And that leads to the question, how do we find a way forward? What does it look like to move forward where we're not judging the feelings that we have, but we're not letting them define reality for us either?
Great question. That's what we'll look at when we come back right here on The Bridge Loud.
For God so loved the world, His only son.
to Here on the Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm joined by the founder of Mission USA, Glenn Fitzgerald.
I don't want to go on and on about it, but I'm not sure the hash browns were really there.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You want a good carbo load going into your taping of your show.
Totally.
Carbo load was the name of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Also joining us, producer of the show, Jed Brewer.
Hash browns, as God intended, should be scattered, smothered, and covered, and these were not.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dangerously close to taking a pro Waffle House stand on this show. We're just going to go ahead and move on to our question that came into the Bridge Loud at gmail.com. This week's question says, my friend relapsed and I feel so upset. What now? And Glenn, in that last segment, we ended up with Jed giving us the idea of, if we could get some of the emotions out of the way, what can we do? Is there something we can do that actually has a chance of getting forward, as opposed to letting our emotions kind of pull the leash on us here and there? What would that look like?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that there are a number of things that you can do to help anyone who's having a struggle. Part of it is doing what we're talking about here, which is managing our own emotions.
Yes.
If you're talking to somebody and you've got a whole stew of negative emotions and they are going through a backslide, they're going through a hard time, and you're coming up to them like, man, I'm so mad and I have things and I have feelings and sad, disappointed, and it makes me question things, you know, that's not helping that person get sober, you know. So, part of it is simplifying things in our own head for our own good, but it ends up being for that other person's good as well. But it's really about planting that seed, is the language we would use there, of what can come next and what sort of resources they need to tap into.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. And Jed, how is that more helpful to plug someone in versus to resources? We can understand how it's better for them.
Sure.
If they get professional help. Is that better for us, too, as a person trying to offer them some help?
It so is. You know, if you watch too much TV, you get it in your head that when someone's going through a hard time, what they really need is someone to come in and make an inspiring speech and sort them out. And maybe that should be your job. But if you're like me, you're not good at giving inspiring speeches. And when you try, they don't work very well. It turns out they don't work very well because that's not how change works in a human life. The great thing about connecting folks with the proper resources is it takes the pressure off of you. It gets them the help that actually will help, but it also lets you do something that you can succeed at. You won't succeed at giving the inspiring speech that makes them change everything, because no one can do that. That's not a thing. But you can give them a ride to an AA meeting. You can help them connect to a job counselor in their area. You can help them find a rehab that's covered by their insurance or whatever resources they have. You can do those things, and those things are all going to be right in line with the heart that you have. If we could hit pause on all of the emotions, what we would find is you love your friend and you want to help. We know that's where you're coming from. The good news is there are things that you can do to help that would help and that you can pull off.
That's absolutely right. And to go back to something Jed was saying earlier, which I think is critically important about this, situations having to deal with addiction are inherently complicated. They're also, everyone is different. As Glenn pointed out, we deal with people sometimes in the same side of the same city who are addicted to the same substance and grew up in the same neighborhood, but everything about their situation and as far as what helps them stay sober, what made them backslide, is totally different. So it's important to have those details, and that's another thing professionals can help you figure out that you don't know. And so if you don't understand where you would even start with that, feel free to email us to bridgeloud@gmail.com. You're going to hear that email address a couple more times in the show, and we will get you hooked up with that. We'll be right back right here on The Bridge Loud.
She's not like that, she's paper.
This is Glenn from The Bridge Loud. Maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, none of this good news applies to me because I've made mistakes and I've got a record. Well, you know what? No problem. We work every day with people who have been and sometimes still are behind bars. We know how to work with that and we ain't scared. Email us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com. That's thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We know you have struggles. We believe in you, and we want to help.
We're back here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King. Once again, I'm joined by the founder of Mission USA, Glenn Fitzgerald.
I feel like the fans of this show would like for us to stipulate that our official position is that we are pro-Waffle House.
Of course.
The gentleman from Tennessee Descents also joining us. The producer of the show, the man who's putting other music together, Jed Brewer.
I've eaten far too much Waffle House in my life to judge Waffle House.
That's right.
I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Very fair. We're answering a question tonight that came into the Bridge Loud at gmail.com. This week's question says, my friend relapsed and I feel so upset. What now? Now, when we like to present some wisdom, some help on the show, we also like to scatter, smother, and cover it with a little bit of secret sauce.
The secret sauce.
So, Glenn, as you mentioned, you know, this is a big part of our day job, is working with people with addiction, which means dealing with relapses.
Yeah.
What are the kind of things you might say to someone whose best friend just went through this and they came to you with this question?
Well, I think we're looking for a spiritual perspective. I mean, that's what our job involves, is helping people grow spiritually and deal with struggles like this, whether you're the one having the relapse or you're the one trying to help the person having that relapse. It's important to know what God's perspective is on that. The Bible says, you know, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness doesn't extinguish it. And it's one of those things of, we need to think of, you have a light, and when it shines, it there's nothing else acting on it to squash it down and make it not happen. So when you give that bit of encouragement, that it does what it's having an effect that's inevitable and it's unstoppable. And it's important to recognize off of that, all backslides are temporary. That's how these things work. We tend to think of it as this could be the final chapter in this person's life. But the reality is, most people backslide and then they learn from that, and then they hopefully come out of that stronger and have a better insight. It's important to recognize God is never done with anybody. He never gives up on anybody, and neither should we.
That's absolutely right. One thing I would throw in to add on there is God has a relationship with you and a plan for you that is unique. It is just you and God. There can be people who are part of that, who are part of that for seasons, who come in and out of that. But it is important to remember that your life and your destiny, and you're not tied up to anyone else. You know, part in the book of John, the very end where Jesus is risen, he's talking to one of his guys who he'd been with, and the guy, because they were all knuckleheads, God love him, asked, what about the other guy? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. He says, if I want him to live forever, that doesn't mean anything to you. You have to follow me. So you have a thing before you in your life. God wants good things for you. It's important to love people, to support them, but not to get so caught up in what other people are doing that you use that as an excuse to put pause on what God wants to do with you. And we'll see you next week right here on The Bridge Loud.
All right, that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next week on The Bridge Loud. And let us know, are you ready to join The Bridge Loud tribe? We know you've got talents. Maybe you can scream or play the guitar or make a super cool graphic. Love it. Reach out to us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com and tell us what you do. We want your talents and gifts as a part of The Bridge Loud, so don't be shy. Let us know, thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Rock up. Left for me.